amazed by this. He gave him a part of his name, thus the name changed from Abram to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. We'll get there in a little bit. Abraham's people came from Ur of the Chaldees. They are descendants of Shem, Noah's son. Ur was an area in what is known today as modern Iraq near the Persian Gulf. These were polytheistic people, meaning they believed in more than one god, and were heavily influenced by the Babylonians and Assyrians. Their patron deity was Nana, the Babylonian / Assyrian moon god. The name of the city is derived from the god's name. It literally means the abode of Nana. Terah, Abraham's father, was a son of Nahor, the son of Serug. Terah had three sons, Abram, Haran, and Nahor the second. Some say that Sarah was Terah's daughter by a second wife and would later become his daughter-in-law, wife of Abraham, thus making Sarai Abram's half-sister. However, the Bible is not clear on this sister connection, so we'll leave it at that. They left Ur and settled in Haran, Genesis 11, verse 31. And it was while they were in Haran that Abram had an encounter with God, Genesis 12 and 1. God told him to move to the land of Canaan. Canaan, if you remember, was one of Noah's grandsons. He was cursed with perpetual slavery because of his father Ham had looked upon a drunk and naked Noah. This is in an area of what is known today as Lebanon, Israel, the Palestinian territories, and it also includes the western part of Jordan, and southwestern Syria. It was a very large area, and I wish I had that map for you to see. Abram was about 75 years old when he left Haran. Sarai was around 65 years of age when they got to Egypt and Pharaoh laid his eyes on her. Abraham begins his journey in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Sister Dawn, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy territory and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That includes my family and your family. Scholars say the promise made to Abraham, particularly in verse 3, is one of the most significant passages in the Bible. It points ultimately to the redemption of the whole world. Abraham's family became a divinely appointed channel through which blessing would come to all men. This promise was formalized in a covenant in Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. Sister Dawn, Genesis 15, verses 18 through 21. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites, all the ites. The covenant was repeated four additional times, twice to Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, verses 6 through 8, and 22, 16 through 18. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. is also repeated once to Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 3 and 4. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And to Jacob in Genesis 28, verses 13 and 14. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The covenant is repeated four times. In the Bible, the number four relates to the earth. This covenant was going to be fulfilled down here on earth. How are the families of the earth going to be blessed? Remember that the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ can be traced back to Abraham, as outlined in Matthew chapter 1. Abram had no way of knowing what God was going to do through him. But isn't that the beauty of it? Isn't that how God works? What he asks for up front is simply obedience. And when we obey, it sets in motion the will of God in our lives. Let's look at the dialogue that took place between God and Abram. Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 through 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. What is the sign of the covenant? Circumcision. And along with the covenant, a name change. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 19. Verse 1 of chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Chapter 17 and verses 10 through 19. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face, verse 17, and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. You will not become fruitful until you have come into a covenant with God. When you come into a covenant with God, you have a name change. In Hebrew, Abram means exalted father. The name Abraham means father of a multitude. Abraham believed God up to a point. Has God given you a promise that seems so big that it's impossible? It even caused you to laugh in your heart. Abraham laughed in his heart, and God saw it. Abraham leaned to what he knew, and that was Ishmael. That was a son that was born to him by Hagar. God said, call his name Isaac in verse 19. In Hebrew, the name Isaac means laughter. Both mom and dad laughed at this seemingly huge impossibility. Note the stipulation given in verse 14 that we just read. And we will see this again in Acts chapter 3, verse 23. In chapter 18, Abraham has three angels that pay him a visit. And again, it is reiterated to him, you will have a child, and it is going to happen in this time frame. After receiving the promises and having a name change, Abraham is finally given a specific time. And what does Sarah do? She laughs. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Shall my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I be of a surety, bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's one of my favorite passages right there in the scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Again, note verse 14. We all have a time appointed when God is going to show up in our lives and do that which he promised he would do. Finally, in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through Sarah has a different laugh now. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given suck? For I have borne him a son in my old age. Can you imagine going to Lamaze at that age of 100 years old and 9 years old? You strolling up in Lamaze class, we're going to have a baby. Can you imagine the talk down at the market? Sarah's going to have a baby. Sarah? A baby? She's quite old. She's getting up there in years. Abraham? A dad? At 100? Changing diapers at 100 years old? 100 years old, changing diapers. But God said it was going to happen. Modern-day Israel became a nation in May of 1948 after it was recognized by the United Nations as a country in its own right within the Middle East. Immediately on being granted its independence, Israel was attacked by a number of Arab nations. If Israel had faltered at this first hurdle, she would have ceased to exist as a state, regardless of what the United Nations had decreed. Israel was backed by a promise made thousands of years ago before that was given to Abraham. Today, Israel's total population is 8 million, 6.1 million of whom are Jews. The current world Jewish population is 13.1 million, all direct descendants of Abraham. Now, we as Gentiles have been placed in the Abrahamic covenant as believers through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are not a part of that agreement that God had with Abraham, the original agreement. We were lost and could not be called a child of God. But all that changed when Jesus came on the scene. In John chapter 8, the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up. These people believed they were God's spiritual children because they were Abraham's physical children. Jesus stated that if the works that they were supposedly doing for God were genuine, they would have readily accepted him who was also performing God's work. The truth was that their works were done deceitfully, revealing them to the children to be the children of the devil. They answered and said unto Abraham, John chapter 8, verse 39, John 8, 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the work of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Then said the Jews unto him, in verse 52, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say I was. He said, I am. He is the all-existing one. He spans all ranges of time. He's not limited. He's not held in space. He is simply I am. Then we go to Luke, and we find Jesus addressing his disciples. He begins by dividing them, by giving them understanding of the scriptures that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets concerning him. And then he mentions the promise. Also remember, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew that he was going to always be with them and that he was going to send a comforter to them in his name. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, in verse 47 of Luke chapter 24, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now in Acts, the stage is set and the atmosphere is charged with expectation. The focus begins to shift from the Jews to the Gentiles. And being assembled together with them, commanded them at verse Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Then Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, a scripture we all know so well. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. This was spoken to the Jews by Peter. Note how verse 23 echoes Genesis chapter 17, verse 14. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 what he had to do to be saved. He had to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to get into the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 13 and 17 through 25 was spoken to us as Gentiles. Romans 4, verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Paul continues to speak about the promise. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 reads like this, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Gentiles have access to the promise and are no longer outsiders. We're no longer outsiders, folks. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Baptism puts us in the covenant and removes the barrier of sin that separated us from God. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made with hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen from with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Abraham's actions are summed up in Hebrews chapter 11. And yes, we just read the scripture. His seed has been multiplied through Jesus Christ to include not just the Jew, but also the Gentile. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky, in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. We are in covenant with the living God. Your name was changed when you went to water and were baptized in Jesus' name. The name was applied to your life, and if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you have this power inside of you and his promises. What made Abraham obey the voice of the living God, whom his fathers did not know? Faith. Abraham somehow knew it was God. Perhaps in the same way Saul knew who it was that spoke to him on the road to Damascus. According to C.H. Spurgeon, Abraham's experience was in these three things. He had a call, and he obeyed it. And he obeyed it because he had faith. Abraham was ready to be separated from his kindred. He was ready for all the losses and risks that might be involved in obedience to the call of God. He waived the present for the future. Abraham committed himself to God by faith. And I am thankful that age does not disqualify us for being used by God. Abraham was 75 when he left Haran and 100 when he finally got to hold Isaac in his arms. 25 years of walking on a promise. The results of Abraham's actions can be seen on the map of Israel and the faces of the Israeli people, and had a part through our Lord Jesus Christ in bringing salvation to the whole world. Being born again of the water and of the Spirit puts you in covenant with God. Today, only God knows how many people have been baptized in Jesus' name and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We can only reference John in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Who, while left stranded on the Isle of Patmos, was given a vision of heaven. From what he wrote, it sounds to me that God kept his word that he spoke to Abraham. It reads like this in verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And I am so glad that I am in that Abrahamic covenant. I am in covenant with an almighty, all-powerful, all-seeing, invisible God. Shall you clap your hands unto the Lord today and thank him if you are in that covenant? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, you have 10 minutes before we start B session, so you can take time to refresh yourselves. You can stop by our little table out there and get yourself a cold drink if you like. My wife is dashing out there now. Thank you so much for being here today in Sunday school, and we're going to have an awesome time in B session. You're dismissed for now, in Jesus' name.